Supreme Lord. And as such, they travel all over the world directly as Narayan, because they carry Narayan within their hearts and preach his glories. The representative of Narayan is as good as Narayan, but he is not to conclude, like the Mayavadis, that he has become Narayan. Generally, a sannyasi is addressed as Narayan by the Mayavadis. Their idea is that simply by taking sannyas, one becomes equal to Narayan or becomes Narayan himself. The Vaishnava conclusion is different, as stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Saksha daritvena samasta shastrair yuktas tatha bhavyata eva sat bhavyata eva sadvi kintu pravoryak priya eva tasya vande guru sri charanaravindam. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, a devotee is as good as Narayan, not by becoming Narayan, but by becoming the most confidential servant of Narayan. Such great personalities act as spiritual masters for the benefit of the people in general. And as such, a spiritual master who is preaching the glories of Narayan should be accepted as Narayan and be given all respects due him. Vyaktam atmavatam atma bhagavan atma bhavanaha svanang anugrahaye mam siddharupi charatyaja. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always anxious to elevate the living entities who are his parts and parcels. And for their special benefit, the Lord travels all over the world in the form of self-realized persons like you.
Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gidamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripadam aham vande sri guru dinataranam paramananda madhavam sri chaitanya ishvaram.
Hare Krishna. The blessings of the Vaishnavas. I'd like to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Here, here Prithu Maharaj is meeting with the Kumaras, and he is glorifying them as being none different from the Supreme Lord, because they are carrying the Lord wherever they go. And Srila Prabhupada was here in India before leaving to the West. He had a meeting with his god brothers in Mayapur, and he showed them the first canon of Srimad Bhagavatam that he had published. And everybody was very happy to see the three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada asked his god brothers to bless these books, because he said these books are going to travel to the West to bring the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere. So everybody was very happy blessing the books. And then Srila Prabhupada said that I am going to be the carrier. I'm going to be the person who is carrying these books. So you also have to bless me, because I'm going to go and carry the books to the West. So they also gave blessings. So they chose a devotee never thinks himself independent of the blessings of the other Vaishnavas. Here Prithu Maharaj, a great Vaishnava and Shaktivesha avatar, is meeting with the Kumaras, who are self-realized souls, they are Mahajans, And he's glorifying them in very choice words. And it is very suitable, the glorification, because he's stating here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always anxious to elevate the living entities. Krishna is always trying to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls by giving them the intelligence how they can come back to him. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadhami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. That is Krishna's interest. He wants to reclaim the fallen souls. And thus, he is working with all his devotees, all his representatives who are engaging in his mission. Now here, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain the different kinds of transcendentalists that exist, namely the jnanis or impersonalists, the mystic yogis, and of course, the bhaktas or devotees. And he's stating that the Kumara's position is quite unique because they had gone through the stages of yogis and jnanis and they have achieved the position of bhaktas, of pure unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why is it quite unique? Because for the most part, people get stuck on a certain position. Just like I'm stuck here on this seat because it's quite comfortable. In fact, it's almost too comfortable. So you kind of settle into your slot and you think, okay, this is my space. And I'm occupying this space because it has been given to me by the will of Providence or by my own austerities or learning or by chance or by whatever reason. But most likely, when one gets comfortable, one does not want to move from that position. Because in a position of comfort, there is no impetus, there is no real driving force to move forward. Unless there is the burning desire to advance and to elevate oneself and to reach a higher level of consciousness, a higher level of understanding. So the Kumaras had this drive. They had this quest for enlightenment. Thus they were not satisfied in being jnanis or yogis. But through their sincere search, they got the darshan of the Supreme Lord. And by observing him and getting his blessings and becoming fully aware of the glorious nature of the Personality of Godhead, they became pure devotees. So, this is the sequence of advancement. Many times we see that people are trying to do the opposite, to do the reverse, to come from the position of a devotee and again situate oneself on the position of jnani or yogi, but it is not very stable and it is not a very relishable position for somebody who has been in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who has been engaging in devotional service. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was met by the inhabitants of Kulinagram, who were headed by Satyaraj Khan, and they came every year to Jagannath Puri to bring the silken ropes for the Ratha Yatra ceremony. They asked Lord Chaitanya, what is our duty? What should we do? We're householders and we're living with families and business. How can we make spiritual advancement? And Lord Chaitanya told them on three different occasions the same answer. He told them that you should chant Hare Krishna and you should serve the devotees. That is the instruction that he gave them in three different times. And they always asked back, who is a devotee? And the first time, Mahaprabhu said, a devotee is someone who once chants Hare Krishna, that is a devotee. We can take this to be a Kanishtha Adhikari, a person who is chanting Hare Krishna and who is engaged in devotional service, most likely has not been initiated, but has faith that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Lord and is the ultimate goal of life. That is a Kanishtha Adhikari. Also in the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami in the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the same topic is being discussed. And again, in Nectar of His Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami discusses the same topic. If a topic is very important, it will get discussed in many places by all the different acharyas. So here, in Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada is again discussing it. And of course, in 11th canto, second chapter, it is very elaborately explained. So then, from that position of neophyte, eventually the devotee advances to become more steady and to gain more knowledge in scripture, to associate with saintly persons. He becomes initiated and he follows the process and he engages in preaching work. Thus he's known to be a Madhyam Adhikari, a Madhyam Bhakta. He has more knowledge and his faith is deeper. His faith is more profound. Faith or Shraddha doesn't just mean to believe in something. But the word Shraddha means actually to give one's heart. Shraddha, to give one's heart. Now, that's usually quite a tall order. Like if you say, okay, give your heart. Can you donate your heart? How many of you have signed an organ donor's card? How many of you agree to donate? I'm going to donate my liver or my kidney or my heart, you know? So how about giving our heart to Krishna or to the mission of the spiritual master? That is not something cheap or something ordinary. That is something very profound, something very substantial. So a Madhyam Bhakta is a person who is engaging in preaching and who has firm faith and who has given his heart to the mission of the spiritual master. And then an Uttam Adhikari is a person who has full knowledge of the scriptures and has got personal realization of the glorious nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is constantly reminded by everything and everyone of the presence of the Supreme Lord and engages in loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and shows mercy and kindness to all living entities. That is a Uttam Adhikari. So these are the three categories of devotees that are explained. The next year, when Mahaprabhu was asked by the inhabitants of Kulinagram, he gave the same answer, and upon being asked who is a devotee, he said, a person who is constantly chanting Hare Krishna, that is a devotee. So that is the goal. You should be constantly chanting Hare Krishna. And the third year, when being asked the same question, he replied that a person, when you see that person, you start to chant Hare Krishna. That is a devotee. So that is the topmost class. We can see that Srila Prabhupada he's personifying the Uttam Adhikari, the Uttam Bhakta, to the topmost degree. We just heard the story how when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, to America, the first person that saw him was a Coast Guard off of Boston Harbor. It was in a ship, the Coast Guard, they were cruising around and checking the harbor, and they were crossing the Jaladutta. So the Coast Guard was on board, and Srila Prabhupada was on board of the Jaladutta, and the Coast Guard saw Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada looked at him and waved, and the Coast Guard waved back. And 4 years later, he joined the temple, and he became known as Chyavana Swami. Now, I never met him, but I just heard that story. So you can see that The pure devotee is so intensely meditating on the mission of his spiritual master, whoever comes in touch with him, the fire of Krishna consciousness just gets in light. It just gets ignited. Just why Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur went door to door preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some people were favorable, but some people were callous and some people were inimical. Wherever there was a fan, a spark of good quality, Lord Nityananda would fan that spark. But sometimes he met people that were averse. They were like wet ashes. There is no spark, there is no smoke, there is nothing. So he would put that spark and fan it. So that is the nature of a pure devotee, that irregardless, irrespective of the inclination and conditioning of the person, he will just give them Krishna bhakti in order to make them advance in Krishna consciousness. So this is the process by which Krishna consciousness is being practiced and by which it is being disseminated all around the world. And Srila Prabhupada has left this ISKCON movement the legacy. He has given the mandate to all his followers for all times to come to take upon themselves the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yarede ketare kaha Krishna upadesh amara gyana guru hanatare desh. That wherever you are and whoever you are and whoever you meet, just enlighten that person about the message of Krishna as he's given it in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, become an instructing spiritual master and deliver the people of your lands. Now we can see how in the 70s, 60s and 70s and 80s, most devotees were from American and European background, and they went all around the world under the order of Srila Prabhupada to distribute Krishna consciousness. And the wave of Krishna consciousness went all over the globe, and it came to India and it swapped back, and it was kind of a big euphoria of Krishna conscious Sankirtan going on all around the planet. And now we can see how the demographics have changed to quite a large extent. And we can see here Vaishnavs from practically every continent, and a large denomination who speaks Russian. Formerly you could scare the devotees and tell them, if you're not doing the preaching, you know, we'll bring the Russians and they will distribute the books. And then they say, no, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Don't bring the Russians. But now the Russians are everywhere. So now what you're going to say? You're going to say, we'll bring the Chinese. Well, the Chinese are already here. You know that in Sweden, by the year of 2012, the second language that you learn in school is not going to be English. It's going to be Chinese. So if you're going to high school or secondary school in Sweden, you're going to learn Chinese. So how many of us are planning to learn Chinese to go to China to preach? I know many here speak Russian, but how many of us are planning to go to Russia to preach? Srila Prabhupada went there in 1971 with Shyama Sundar, and one Bhagavad Gita and one Easy Journey to Other Planets was left in the country. And those books created a revolution. And now there is tens of thousands of devotees in the former Soviet Union. Srila Prabhupada was standing under Moscow State University and looking over the city, and he said, in this city alone there will be thousands of devotees. And that was in 71, when he was there on a five-day tourist visit where seemingly not much got accomplished. But a huge wave of Krishna consciousness has swept across that nation, and it has been expanding from there ever since. Why? Because Krishna has chosen to appear through the words and through the deeds of his pure devotee. Because Srila Prabhupada had no personal agenda. He was not interested in making himself a mark in the world, of making monuments, of creating some following. He was simply interested to give people Krishna consciousness. That's why Krishna empowered him to do this seemingly impossible task of bringing Krishna consciousness to every continent, to so many nooks and corners of this world. And his representatives and his books are still propounding that legacy all around the planet. I was just in Russia, in the Urals. It's a town called Yekaterinburg. If you don't know where Urals is, it's just before Siberia. It's kind of in the middle. It's where all the oil and gas comes from. If you ever wonder why Russia has got so much money, it's because of the oil and gas, and partially because they make a lot of arms, which they sell to India and other neighboring countries. So, in Yekaterinburg, I went on the street with some devotees to distribute Prabhupada's books. Now, I hope you don't mind me telling this, but in a few days, it's December, and I thought it's time to get the marathon started. I know some of you have already started, some of you are thinking of starting it, and some of you, you know, have other plans. So, while we're distributing books on the street, I met another lady who was also distributing books, and he was older, Mataji. So I asked her, please forgive me to ask, but how old are you? I know it's not a very nice thing to ask, but I'm curious. Her name is Tulsi Rupini Devi Dasi. She said, I'm 72 years old. So I asked her, well, how often do you do this? She said, I go out every day for 3 hours. That's all I can do. She has got 8 grandchildren, and she's 72 years old. How old are you? 30. Just a kid. So, and every day she goes out on the main walking street, and she just stands there, and she smiles. And whoever smiles back, she calls them over. That's her technique. She just smiles. And whoever smiles back, she calls them over. And because she's a big lady, you know, she's a babushka, she's like, you know, big. So she's got a very authoritative figure. So she gives him a book. She says, this is about Krishna. I want you to read this because it is good for you. And people say, da. I say, yes. So then she distributes every day about 80 magazines, 40 small books, and 10 big books. Sometimes people argue with her and they say, I don't have any money. And she says, that's okay. You can bring me the money tomorrow. I will be waiting for you. And people come back because nobody wants to cheat his grandmother, you know. Now, she simply stands there and exudes happiness because everybody in this world is looking for pleasure. Everybody's looking for beauty, for knowledge, for fame, for strength, for wealth. So what are people looking for? Krishna. Everybody's looking for Krishna. But we're looking in the wrong places. But Krishna is right here. But then when the people have the literature in their hand and they look at us, and then they look at us, and they look at the literature, and they look at us, and they look at the literature. And then, if it's not matching, they say, no, this doesn't match, and they give it back. They say, something is wrong here. And we have all noticed that, when people look at you and they say, are you for real? And usually when they have their wallet out, you know, they make one last check, you know, like you know how you are when you're in the store, you know, like you try to think, is this really what I need right now? Is this how I should be spending my money? Is this going to give me happiness? You know, that kind of thought process. I mean, we're all familiar with this. So then they look at us and they look at the book, and if the two don't match, then it's a no-go. Then they give it back. So Srila Prabhupada has told us, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That is his instruction. So our first and foremost duty is to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.